Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, if you're not familiar with Dr. Cuddy. He is a past official in the Department of Education during the Reagan administration. Dr. Cuddy has a very extensive archive, which you can access at newswithviews.com. Simply go to newswithviews.com and click on the writer's listings there. And it will take you to his archive where you will see all kinds of things mentioned, including his most recent post, The Iraq War, Oil, and World Government, and a March 19th post entitled, New Edition of the BLP's Textbook Still Has Problems. You can see an article on economic coercion, planned slavery, the power elite's conspiracy against America, dialectics, Rockefellers, and population control, and so forth and so on. It's an incredible archive. You will spend hours looking at it, and I suspect that by the conclusion of your time with that archive, you'll not look at the present contemporary political and cultural scene in quite the same way again. Dr. Cuddy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Well, good. I know you've had all kinds of things going on in your life, which we don't necessarily have to talk about this morning, but I simply wanted to say to the listeners that if they knew all the irons in the fire that you've had at the present time, they would be particularly appreciative of the fact that you've taken the time to be with us this morning. In regard to the way that you see the present situation in our country, is one is on the very traditional American right. When you look at foreign policy or domestic policy, what are some of the key trends that you observe that are the most troubling to you?
Well, the latest book I have, I've done a number of books as well, is titled The Road to Socialism and the New World Order, because my position is this, some group that I call the power elite, who's moving us gradually towards a world government. It'll be a synthesis of Western capitalism and Eastern communism into a world socialist government. And there are a lot of people who write on these subjects. And what I've done is try to carve myself a little niche that's a slightly different. A fair number of my works are chronologies, because I try to not get into a lot of opinion, but use the words of people themselves, either knowledgeable about or members of this power elite. And so what I try to do is show where the sources are and who said what when. And in some of my works, I'll include actual copies of letters. For example, in my book, Secret Records Revealed, I put a copy of a letter from Franklin Roosevelt to Woodrow Wilson's chief advisor, Colonel House, where Roosevelt is saying the real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in our larger centers has owned, O-W-N-E-D, our government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. It is like putting together a puzzle. I include the title of that book, Secret Records Revealed, comes from the term secret records from Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University. And Quigley loved these people, and basically they let him see their, quote, secret records for a couple of years in the early 1960s, and he pretty well laid out the secret society of the elect that Cecil Rhodes had formed over 100 years ago to, as Rhodes said, quote, take the government of the whole world. And so that's pretty much what I do, and that's the main trend. We're pushing the world towards socialism, a world government.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with our very special guest, Dr. Dennis Lawrence Cuddy, Ph.D. from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, former senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Dennis Lawrence Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. He is a historian and political analyst. He received a Ph.D. from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a major in American history and a minor in political science. And among many other things, he has been a senior associate in the past with the U.S. Department of Education. You can find the Dr. Dennis Cuddy archives at newswithviews.com, and I can guarantee you that you won't be disappointed when you look through the incredible compendium of articles that are there and the repository of information that presents to you and to me in regard to events domestic and events international. Dr. Cuddy, listening to some of your analysis then as we started our conversation about this whole drive toward world government, and going back again to what you mentioned was the activity of Cecil Rhodes in this process 100 years ago, and the way in which there is apparently a corporate political and banking elite that has been driving American domestic and foreign policy in all the years since Cecil Rhodes began with his efforts 100 years ago. If we see the American political scene and the world political scene through that grid, are we dealing with something that is largely hopeless when we look at the power that these people have? Or is there some way in which the old American right, with his commitment to individual virtues and individual freedoms and a commitment to the Constitution of this country, can somehow be reestablished again?
It'll be very difficult because several aspects of this. They don't just use Rhodes as planned, for example, and I give specifics as to how he used Rhodes scholars like Bill Clinton and others to accomplish this. What they would do is economically, the plan was to have regional economic arrangements like the EU, NAFTA, and then link them up and say all this has to be managed by a world government. That's sort of the driving force of the thing. But what they've done is Rhodes selected four areas. He said education, journalism, politics, and economics, others as well. But what they've done is they've gotten control of various segments of society. For example, the Council on Foreign Relations is part of this. They're an outgrowth of what's called the roundtable groups of Cecil Rhodes' society, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in England, and then the CFR in this country. And they're basically front organizations. And like I said, when I say that, it's not my opinion. Carol Quigley himself used that term. Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., the Harvard historian, who's a member of the CFR in his book called 1,000 Days, used the same terms as the front organization. So I try and use diaries, private papers, in the words of the individuals themselves. And what they've done is, let's say in education, for example, if you were to say, my goodness, you know, I've seen the light, this is horrible, let's go to the school board and protest sex education or something in San Antonio or wherever it is. They've developed a process for dealing. They'll tell the parents, well, you're the only one, and you know, okay, but let's say you're fortunate, and you stick to it, and you rally 5,000 people, and you're successful in getting rid of the superintendent who's done this, and so on. The problem is they control the system. It's not just that individual, so that the next superintendent has to be accredited, you know, and certified, whatever, through the same college of education that gave you the previous one. And it'll take you a couple of years to figure that out, and then, you know, you go through this dog and pony show again. So the only way I see this changing is simultaneously. And the reason I mention simultaneously is if you in your particular area get a grassroots movement going over some credible issue, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, sanitation workers or utilities functions or whatever it is, some public issue, and you form a grassroots organization, letters to the editor, getting on talk shows, and let's say you're successful, and let's say wherever you are, you have a bunch of new activists here, and you can start small, that's fine. And let's say you gain enough strength to be a voice and recognized, the newspaper comes out against you, but you're overcome because you have a credibility now. And let's say you change the member of Congress, say from your district. The problem with just doing that, and I'm not saying don't do it, but the problem with just doing that is, let's say you're fortunate and you get 30 or 40 or 50 all over the nation like that. Well, there's still, you know, 434, 35 total members of Congress. And so your 50 good guys and good ladies are going to be told by the powers that be in Congress who are still controlled by the power elite, well, you know, we're going to stick you on the lowest ranking and in some committee you have no expertise about, and your bills are going nowhere. So it's almost like for this thing to work, to be turned around, there has to be this grassroots organization that forms nationally and literally puts down markers that the public will have to tell the members of Congress, you do this now, or else. And the reason Congress, for example, has the idea they don't have to listen to you is they took a poll some years ago and something like 75-80% were against NAFTA and GATT. Well, the Senate passed it anyway. Well, what happens next election? Well, they're reelected, most of them. About 95-96% of members of Congress are reelected. So the message we, the public, have been sending to Congress, the senators and reps, is you don't have to listen to us, and we'll still send you back into office. Now, another reason they can do that is what happens is the power elite controls the choices you have. One of the quotes I have in my one of my books is from 1904, and there's a muckraker at the time. Those were the investigative reporters of 100 years ago. And he's watching the Rockefellers, and his right-hand man, John D.'s right-hand man, Henry Rogers. And he literally finds out that at a certain time on every Tuesday or whatever, they can make and unbreak empires by their economic influence. And he goes on and writes, and this is over 100 years ago, he says, there are Rockefeller agents in every hamlet in the country. And what they're doing is they're watching prospective politicians, you know, at the city council level, and they're saying, seeing who does and who doesn't do what they want. And they fund those individuals. And so they get them into positions up the ladder of, you know, state house, state senate, so forth. So by the time you have these politicians reaching the highest levels, they're pretty well, as FDR said, owned. They don't look at it that way, but they're pretty much owned by the powers that be. Because when they're elected to the U.S. Senate or whatever, they know that they have to do what their political financial backers say, or those same people the next election will be backing somebody else. So in the past election, you had a choice between George W. Bush, a member of Skull and Bones, and John Kerry, a member of Skull and Bones. In other words, you basically had, you know, a Skull and Bones member was going to be president. And so they control the choices. So my only solution that I see, and I want to get into education in a minute, is this has to be grassroots. It has to be simultaneously all around the country. It doesn't really matter what form it takes. Somebody could form like a clearinghouse of information, you know, that says, okay, here are the issues, and you need to actually do something, and it has to be a timetable, and you have to tell that member of the city council, whatever, do it or else. And it has to happen almost simultaneously. Yeah, because if it doesn't, you know, the others, the powers that be, will simply, you know, stick you in a low-level committee and your bills won't go anywhere.
Well, in terms of this whole process, Dr. Cuddy, before we get into, discussing this, how the educational situation plays into it, I was reading your article last night, your excellent article, by the way, The Iraq War, Oil, and World Government. And in terms of that article, of course, you emphasize that in addition to the prominent role of the Project for the New American Century, something that we've talked about on my show with a number of guests on a number of occasions, you also mention an independent task force that was sponsored by the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy of Rice University and the Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
And with some of the names that are mentioned there, of course, I get to the bottom of the one paragraph. And the culmination of the paragraph indicates that there was a report issued by this group entitled Strategic Energy Policy Challenges for the 21st Century. Now, as your article continues to unpack that, if we use the Project for the New American Century on the one hand, and then this so-called Strategic Energy Policy Challenges for the 21st Century, which came out of this Baker Institute for Public Policy and the CFR, people who read this article, and I'm going to be posting it in a number of places on the web with a URL link to your original, people will quite naturally conclude what many of them already suspect, and that is that the forces involved in this Iraq war are very powerful elitist forces that do not necessarily represent the interest of the average American at all. And as we go through all of the data that you bring to us in this article about how true that is in relation to this Iraq war, do you think that to the extent that the American public just begins to figure out some of what has been involved in this Iraq war and some of what apparently is involved in this talk about a preemptive war with Iran, that this could potentially be an area where the elite might overplay its cards and where the American population as a whole finally connects some dots and says, we're not going to take this anymore. We've got to retake control of this country again. Do you think that this could be a moment where that might happen in history?
Well, anything's possible. Like I said, these individuals have been at this a long time, and I think I hear the music. We can pick up after the break.
Very good. We'll pick up after the break and then also discuss some of your educational ideas. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. You can find his archives at newswithnews.com. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. You can find Dr. Cuddy's archive at newswithviews.com. You will discover that he has a Ph.D. from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, a major in American history with a minor in political science. He has been, among other things, a senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. He is a well-traveled fellow in regard to all of the places, both in corporate media as well as in non-establishment media, that have carried his commentary. He has written or edited 20 books and booklets, and his articles number in the hundreds. And again, you can find some of those at newswithviews.com. We were talking, Dr. Cuddy, before the break a little bit about the Iraq War in regard to a couple of these things, the Project for a New American Century, and then, of course, this petroleum position paper that you cite that was issued by the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice in conjunction with the CFR. As the American public may begin to figure out a few things, hopefully, in regard to what has been behind this this war in the Middle East, again, do you think that this presents an opportunity for a larger revolt against these elitist policies? What do you think?
Well, there's a number of issues involved in what you just said. First of all, as I indicated, these people have developed ways over years and years to control the population. Rockefeller Foundation medical director Alan Gregg back in the 40s, for example, wanted to put wartime psychology into the civilian population, so they funded a place called Tavistock. One of their senior fellows developed a theory of social turbulence, which said if you throw crises at people, economic, foreign policy, with a crisis, they will go into psychological retreat. They will become less active, to tuned out, you know, turned off, starting to look just to themselves and saying, well, you can't fight City Hall and so on. They will therefore become less involved. And if you have fewer of the people less involved, then that means fewer people in turn can control what goes on. You said also before the break, this powerful group is not acting in the best interest of the U.S., and that's a good example of the type of quotes I put in my articles. If you were to say, well, David Rockefeller is had been chairman of the CFR from 1970 to 85, and if I were to say to your listeners, David Rockefeller is part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interest of the United States, just as you said, Mark. And what he was doing was trying to form a more integrated global political and economic structure, like a one world. People would say, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist. Surely he wouldn't do that. Well, the point is, when I write things like that, I put in their own words. Rockefeller, in his book called Memoirs on page 405, it was published in 2002, gives the statement I just gave and then says, right after it says, if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it, end quote. So your listeners need to appreciate that I have, you know, the documents for this for these things I'm saying. All right, in terms of Iraq and Iran, and the opportunity that it provides. The problem is that the public has been conditioned to sort of say, what can I do about it? Or, you know, I know something's going on, but how can I really fight it? And so on. What they do is, let's use 9/11 as an example. In my book, one of my books called Cover Up, it's mostly about 9/11, but in there I do have a chapter on Iraq. And the book was actually written just before the Iraq War, but even there you'll find out that I give what Saddam's secret strategy will be. And I was correct in giving that. The administration blew it. They didn't realize that he actually wanted us to go quickly from Kuwait up to Baghdad. We thought that was a great success, mission accomplished. I said, no, that's what he wants you to do. He didn't burn the bridges and any, you know, over the Euphrates River and so on. He wants you to get there because only then will you disperse out of battle formation into smaller patrols that can be hit by RPGs, roadside bombs, you know, guerrilla, urban guerrilla warfare. So anyway, what they do is a dialectical process, and here's how it works and how it applies to Iran and Iraq. You have a 9/11. Years ago, what you do is you make a deal with the Saudis, and you say, okay, we'll give you some big bucks for your oil as long as you cooperate with us and keep OPEC prices from getting out of hand. In other words, if some of OPEC, Venezuela, whatever, wants to shorten the supply, lessen it, you'll pump more and so on. And in turn for that, you, the Saudis, will agree to reinvest the money we give you back into this country in, corporations, land, banks, and whatever. So currently the Saudis have about $1 trillion invested in the U.S. and plus another $1 trillion deposited in banks. So they have tremendous influence. Same thing now with China. The way Bill Clinton was right when he said, how are we going to pay for Katrina? He says, well, that depends on whether the Chinese are continuing to be willing to buy up our debt. And one of these days, these people are going to say, no, we're not. And that's when you will have this dollar will dive, and they'll say, aha, we need the Amero, and we need the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and the North American Union, and yada, yada, yada. Okay, so in the 70s, you have this dialectical process. You create a situation which you know that the public will react to in Saudi Arabia, and we'll pick up after the break.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll be back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. He has a Ph.D. from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, major in American history, minor in political science. Among many other things, he is a past senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. And many of his writings you will find at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. Then click on the writers link on the left side of the page, I believe, and that will take you directly to the Dr. Dennis Cuddy archives. And Dr. Cuddy, we were talking before the break. Essentially, as you see it then, we have had a process throughout recent history where you have a Hegelian dialectic going on.
Right.
A problem is presented, which in many cases has been deliberately created or allowed to fester. It creates a crisis.
Yep.
And in the ensuing crisis, you then have the mass public being more willing to accept the then proffered solutions of the policy elite, particularly as that relates to world government. Is that correct?
You got it exactly right. The example I was using is 9/11. In the 70s, we made the deal with the Saudis, and I explained that before the break. Now, they know that because of that, there's going to be a reaction. In other words, it's sort of like in Central America, if you prop up a dictator, eventually the people get tired. They look around and say, well, who's supporting this dictator? Who's keeping them in power? And they said, oh, it's the, you know, quote, ugly American syndrome. And so what you have in this case is, let's say Zbigniew Brzezinski. He was David Rockefeller's first director of the Trilateral Commission. He was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. At the first Mikhail Gorbachev State of the World Forum in the mid-90s, he basically said what Cecil Rhodes' plan was. He said, yes, we're going to have world government, but we'll have to get to it gradually through regional economic arrangements and linking them up. And I've got a tape of him saying this. And so what he did in his book called The Grand Chessboard, I think it came out about 10 years ago, he says, look, we, for geopolitical reasons, and I mentioned that term geopolitical because in the very first of this interview, you mentioned my latest article on News Reviews about the Iraq war and oil and so on. They said oil will be presented to some extent, but really there are these dominant geopolitical reasons that we want to downplay that's going on. And so Brzezinski said, to get this Caspian oil, what will happen is we'll have to have various routes. We want one through Afghanistan, but, you know, what the heck, the Taliban's not cooperating in this stuff. And so what he said is, now, because they're, you know, we're going to do certain things, there could be a terrorist or a Muslim reaction to this. So they know that our propping up, let's say, the rulers of Saudi Arabia, who are living, you know, very well, and the people below them not so well at all, there's going to be a reaction. Okay, so now you have 9/11, you know, Osama bin Laden. But apparently, it doesn't matter that 19 guys flew planes into buildings. And some people say, well, George Bush really did this, you know, he's secretly behind. They don't work that way. Nobody, you know, George Bush didn't call up 19 guys and say, fly into buildings. They just know there's going to be a major terrorist attack. It could have been, you know, 20 guys derailing trains in Texas or something. Doesn't matter. And then with that comes the public reaction. So, for example, on 9/11, which I put in my book, Cover Up, and another one, September 11, Prior Knowledge, could have been easily prevented. Easily. And we can get to that if you want to in a minute. What happens is, these people have an attack, and immediately that afternoon of September 11th, ABC Washington Post comes out with a poll showing that two-thirds of the American people will be willing to give up some of their freedoms now in order to have peace and safety. So you have an incident. Same thing in gun control. You know, a school shooting, oh my goodness, we need more gun control, right? So, but they use the incidents and then have the public reaction to further it. So it's not like they come and we are going to, as Big Brother, force you Americans to do something. They actually create situations where the American people say, yes, we want this. It's like in Orwell's 1984. He said, you will come to love Big Brother. You will want Big Brother to take care of you. And so that's their strategy that they use to accomplish their ends. Basically, this, like you said, Hegelian dialectical process. It's sort of a coercive mechanism. Some years ago, I said, for example, a little booklet I did, which is called Conspiracy. The last third of the booklet, I looked at the future, sort of like the Looking Backwards, the book by Edward Bellamy. 100 years ago, we looked at the year 2000 backwards. I look at the year 2100 backwards, showing how Big Brother comes into existence. And I said, what they will do is they won't come to you and force you to do stuff. What they would do is probably say, okay, medical costs are going up, and therefore insurance premiums are going to go up. However, if you don't want to pay double your insurance premium, we have this plan whereby you will exercise when we tell you to and, you know, eat what you want and so forth. And people laughed at that when I wrote that about 10 years ago. Well, just the other day, guess what? This actually happened. There was some federal program where they're going to encourage the insurance companies, if people, you know, have a certain diet or whatever, to give them lower rates. And so this is a coercive mechanism. They create the situations where you, quote, voluntarily choose to do what they want to, either give up your freedoms or, you know, exercise when they want you to and so forth. And this is a gradualistic sort of Fabian socialist gradual movement towards socialism here and elsewhere. In fact, most of the heads of state in Europe are members of what's called a vice presidents of Socialist International. So capitalist nations, the U.S. is very rare, very rare. Most of the nations of the world are socialist, and so that's where we're headed. And I'd like, if we could, in the time we have, to at least touch on education, if we might.
Sure, go right ahead, sir.
Okay. The power elite have not missed the fact that one place that they can shape values are in the schools, public schools. Yes, music, art, you know, rock music, whatever, can shape youngsters' values, but they're required to go to public schools. One of the big things that's controversial now in a number of places, especially in Texas, is something called the Bible Literacy Project. And there's a number of Bible curriculum for public schools which are fine, but this one curriculum that has come out with a new edition is, in my opinion, undermines traditional biblical teaching. It will say things like, did God give Adam and Eve a fair deal in the first edition, and some other things that they've changed, they've corrected it, but there's still errors. And they present what I believe is a communitarian attitude. Now, you listen and say, well, what's communitarian? About half of their board members, original advisory board members, are communitarians, which means while you have individual needs and rights, they should be balanced against the larger needs and of the society or the community. For example, a couple of the advisory board members and the board of director members have signed what's called a communitarian platform that says you as an individual have no Second Amendment right to bear arms. It's really a militia type thing, a community militia, but you, they call you, quote, individual gunslingers. And so their attitude is to develop the community's needs are as important, if not more important, than the individual needs. In terms of education, that's similar to John Dewey, the father of progressive education, which is dominant in this country today, said if you were an independent individualist, you have a form of, quote, insanity, quote, because Dewey wanted us to go towards socialism. He said that. He said, you know, that's what we're going to have, socialism. And so what they're trying to do, the communitarians, is develop what's called common ground. And you'll see them say this in the Bible Literacy Project. So in order to develop, let's say, common ground, they have a curriculum and a textbook called The Bible and Its Influence. And even in the revised edition, they have errors. And they will say, well, this is approved because of our guide. They have what's called the First Amendment Guide, and the guide's endorsed by, for example, the Council on Islamic Education. And so you'll have a passage in this book, The Bible and Its Influence, in the teacher's edition, saying, well, the teacher might want to point out that when you get to the house of Abraham, and you're talking about Hagar and all that sort of thing, that what you have is not so much Isaac, but Ishmael is the true heir. And they say, in here, there's a fair amount about Islam, and they say, you may want to point out that this occurs in the Quran and so on. So in other words, this isn't just a course on the Holy Bible. They actually are teaching principles of, let's say, Islam from the Quran. Now, why are they doing that? Because of this sort of common ground they seek, and they say, the teachers and students need to respect all the views, not only of, you know, a Presbyterian versus a Catholic, but of non-religious people, atheist people, people of other faiths. Well, the problem with that is, in this country, under our Bill of Rights, you have freedom of religion, so you should respect the right of a person to hold whatever. whatever religious view or non-religious they want. Yes, you respect that right. But that should not require the student to respect the view itself. Because that what that would mean is little Johnny gets up in San Antonio and says, I, you know, believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Another little child stands up, atheist child, and says, well, you know, that's wrong. My view is that Jesus is not telling the truth there. He's making a false claim, you know, delusions of grandeur, whatever. Well, the first little youngster, Johnny, should not be required to respect that view. He should respect the right of that youngster to hold a view, but he should not be required to respect the view itself. And that is a serious problem with this sort of common ground communitarian attitude toward these things, and that's a big problem in addition to specific errors which it has. And like the book of Job, it says there's no clear-cut moral, but to me, chapter 42 is clear-cut. Job's situation turns around after he repents and prays for his friends in verses 6 and 10. But there's this sort of insidious thing. It says, compare the flood in Genesis with cataclysmic floods in other cultures in the world in their myths and legends, you know, like that. Well, why use myths and legends? They're real floods. A flood's a flood. Just say compare the real flood of Genesis with real historic floods. But when they slip in that term, other cultures, myths, and so on, it might get the youngster to start saying, well, you know, do I really know for sure that Genesis flood was real? Or, you know, maybe it's a myth. And so there's some serious problems. So I would suggest, whether you're in San Antonio or anywhere else, check with the local school board, see if they're looking at the Bible Literacy Project's textbook, The Bible and Its Influence, and point out to them the articles, such as the one Mark just mentioned that I have. And there's a couple of others on that News with Views site, or with a place called Christian Newswire has some of them. And at least be sure that your local board members consider the points that I make in these articles before they adopt that. There's some serious problems with that particular curriculum, and that's part of this whole values situation in the secular sense. What they've done is they kicked Bible reading and prayer out of the public schools in the 60s. Our problem is, as people of religious faith, of the Western tradition, Jews, Christians, and so on, is that we said, oh my goodness, isn't that too bad, but, you know, separation of church and state and government's going to remain neutral. For 40 years, for 40-some years, our religious leaders have failed us and are still today failing us by not standing up and saying, hey, you guys kicked God out as the moral authority in schools, but you're still teaching values, which means there's another moral authority you're using for teaching Johnny and Janie what's right and wrong. That's not neutrality. That's discrimination against us. At home, we're teaching biblical truth that, you know, God's word is correct, and that's what you should follow. But in the school, you're telling Johnny and Janie that based on the situation, you should decide whatever's right or wrong for yourself. And so for 40 years, this has been going on, and the Josephson Institute of Ethics recently took a survey of 20,000 teens and found out not only that they had lied a couple of times during the past year, but about 50%, three-fourths of them had lied, but about 50% had stolen something. Now, if you asked the youngster, why'd you do that, he wouldn't say the school's taught him to lie, cheat, steal, and whatever. What he'd say is, the school's taught me to make up my own mind based on the situation, what's right or wrong for me. So last week, I bought a sweater from the store. I think the guy overcharged me, so I figure he owed me one, and that's why I shoplifted it. If you're walking down the street, let's say in San Antonio, and you see two teens, chances are real good that one of them stolen from a store, and thinks nothing of it, because that's what they've been pounded with for 40 years in the public schools, and our religious leaders and others of us have not stood up and said, this is wrong. You told us neutrality. You're not neutral if God is out as the moral authority, and you're substituting another moral authority, which is the autonomous moral decision-making student himself or herself. We need to do that.
Yes, and you know this. What you're talking about here, Dr. Cuddy, I think works itself out in a variety of very insidious ways. Just as one example, I was recently involved in a Sunday school class in a Lutheran church on the south side of San Antonio, and I was explaining the origins of something called the documentary hypothesis, or the Graff-Wellhausen theory, dealing with the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And explaining where this theory came from, and that this theory undermines the traditional biblical teaching that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And then, of course, as I went on to get into some of the specifics of this theory and so forth, the class was utterly shocked as it was grasping what I was talking about. I was using Dr. Gleason Archer's old textbook, Introduction to the Old Testament, or A Basic Survey of Old Testament Introduction, I guess is the title of Dr. Archer's book, to outline where this theory came from and what its implications are. When these folks understood this and then grasped the number of biblical commentaries that are out there that are used in mainline seminaries that affirm a belief in this documentary hypothesis without discussing its origins, without discussing its philosophic presuppositions, they began to grasp, the folks did in this class, the magnitude of the shift, the educational shift in our theological schools that has brought into play a non-theistic, non-orthodox, from a Christian perspective, non-orthodox understanding of these kinds of matters. And to take it a step farther, a couple of days ago, I'm at Borders Bookstore in San Antonio, and I decided to sit down and to read Jimmy Carter's book on Palestine and on the Palestinian-Israeli situation. And so I sat down. I was leafing through the book, leafing through it a first time. I'll go back and do a deeper reading again on another occasion. But I was looking at the dates that the president provides in the front part of the book for outlining a chronology of events Middle Eastern, and I came to a very interesting date that he lists. He lists a late date for the exodus of the Jews out of Egypt, not recognizing that in doing so, necessarily, he was making a theological choice and skirting around a very, very serious problem related to the dating of the Exodus and the implications that it has for biblical authority. We'll be back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today has been Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. He has a Ph.D. from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He has been an advisor to Ronald Reagan's government in a past role in the Department of Education. Dr. Cuddy's archive, at least a portion of all of the articles that he has written, can be found at newswithviews.com. In regard to what he was just talking about before the break and related to the Bible Literacy Project and his textbook, The Bible and Its Influence, when you go to the Dr. Cuddy archives at News with Views, look for the March 19th post entitled "The New Edition of the Bible Literacy Project's Textbook Still Has Problems." That will underscore some of what we've been talking about in this brief hour. And I also wanted to make reference to my own experience reading Jimmy Carter's recent release on Palestine and the whole issue of Palestine and Israel and peace in the Middle East. The president has what is at some level a pretty good chronology in the front of the book related to things Middle Eastern. But in regard to the date for the exodus of the Jews out of Egypt, he cites the late date, not the early date. And I will simply say that on that point alone, there is an entire debate among biblical scholars as to when the exodus took place. And the early date tends to be supported by people with one type of biblical view, the late date by people of another biblical view. And President Carter chose the late date. Why did he do that? That's a potentially a side issue in regard to the thesis of his book, but nonetheless is an example of how certain things creep into our literature and our educational institutions and our news media, where the public is not told what the philosophical presuppositions are behind some of these so-called facts. Dr. Cuddy, we've just got a few minutes left. Where do you see your own life and career going here in the next year or two or three in regard to the basic issues you're trying to fight for?
Well, I'm trying to piece together for your listeners and others this puzzle, give them the ammunition they need, not opinions, but documents and the facts and quotations that they can use to organize at the grassroots level and confront these. In terms of Carter and Palestine, what you have to recognize is the dialectic isn't just being used here, it's being used in all of these areas. They want to create this Middle Eastern region. So they have the carrot and the stick. The carrot is, if you go along with our plan for Middle East peace, what will be happen is there'll be an economic agreement and trade and everything will be wonderful. But if you don't, what happens, Javier Solana, head of the European Union, comes down to Olmert and says, you know, I'm not real sure if your loans are going to be extended here. They're up in 7 years. If you, you know, it's unsafe and the investments might not flow. And so immediately Olmert backs off of Hezbollah. As everybody knows, the Israelis did not crush Hezbollah to the extent they wanted to. They just sort of stopped, and that wasn't accidental. In terms of the Bible Literacy Project and what you're saying about Exodus and Moses, they deliberately put in there a reference call from Lincoln Steffens and saying Lenin used the flight from Egypt, and he called it Moses in Red. And I'm hearing the music, so I guess the time is up.
Dr. Dennis Cuddy, I wanted to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America. I want to talk to you via email about getting you on this show again because of the wealth of information that you present to us. You can find Dr. Cuddy's archives at newswithviews.com. And among those archived, you will see his article on the Iraq War, Oil, and World Government, and the article we were just talking about, the new edition of the Bible Literacy Project's textbook, still has problems. We'll be back tomorrow with Chuck Carlson of WeHoldTheseTruths.org. This is Mark Danfoss signing off from the Republic Broadcasting Network in San Antonio, Texas. See you tomorrow.